This is Mitch McGarry of the Oklahoma City Thunder, and you're listening to the Down to Dunk Podcast.
Welcome to the Down to Dunk Podcast. This is your host, Andrew Schlecht. With me, I first have to tell a little story. In 2001, there was a band that one of my friends showed me. The name is Good Charlotte, and I just loved it. I love punk music, and they showed me this band, this album, and I was just super into it. And if you told me, I guess it's been almost 15 years now, that I would be speaking with the guitar player for Good Charlotte on a NBA podcast, I would have told you were crazy. But I'd like to welcome Billy Martin, the guitar player for Good Charlotte. Billy, how you doing?
Good, man. Thanks for having me.
So I found out through kind of the grapevine that you are a huge Thunder fan. I know that you're not from Oklahoma. I think, are you from the D.C. area? Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. Well, Baltimore, kind of.
Baltimore.
Yeah, D.C. Okay. area.
So tell me, how did you become a Thunder fan?
Well, my wife is from Oklahoma City. We actually met each other in high school. She moved to Maryland from Oklahoma when she was 16, I guess. So we met in high school. We've been together for, yeah, like 16 years now.
Wow.
And yeah, so she grew up in Oklahoma City and Edmond, in and around there. And I'm just a huge NBA fan. That's just my only sport. I couldn't talk at all about baseball, football, hockey, nothing. Like, NBA is the only sport I've ever lived for. And I guess growing up in Baltimore, there's sort of like this Baltimore DC thing. It's close, but it doesn't feel like home. Like, the Wizards just never felt like my home team.
Yeah.
Just, I know back in the day, you know, there was the Baltimore Bullets, but I was a little young for that. So growing up for me, I always went like by players, whatever my favorite player was at the time. I just loved the NBA as a whole, and I never really had a team. So as soon as Oklahoma got their first professional team, my wife was like, "Hey, Oklahoma got a basketball team." And I was like, "Cool, well then, you know, that's my team now," because she was excited about it.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's nice when you you know, your wife or significant other there can enjoy something together. So we both got really excited about Oklahoma getting a team, and we just happened to get some of the best players in the history of basketball, and it just became something really exciting. So you know, my love for the Thunder grew more and more. And, you know, I say to her all the time, like, I'm more invested in this team than I've ever been in any sports team in my life. Like, how did you get me to, you know, to fall for your team so hard, you know, from Oklahoma? But we visit Oklahoma a lot. She has family there, and it's just crazy, man. I'm sure, you know, people from Oklahoma just freaking love Oklahoma. It's like, they love it. And, it's cool to see, like, how, you know, behind the Thunder, the whole state. I mean, not just Oklahoma City. I mean, we visit Tulsa once in a while. Everybody in Tulsa loves the Thunder too. It's like the whole state loves them.
Yeah.
So for me, it's just cool, you know. And, you know, when I always talk about it, I'm like, "Oh, my team is," and she's like, "You're not even from Oklahoma." And I was like, "When it comes to the Thunder, I consider myself an Oklahoman. Anything else, no. But, like, I feel like I love the Thunder like I'm from Oklahoma."
So you have such a tie to the Thunder. Last night there was a significant event for the Thunder. They traded Serge Ibaka for Victor Oladipo, who I guess is like a D.C. area native, along with Durant.
Okay.
But I need your initial reaction to the trade, and then maybe your reaction now after you've slept on it.
I mean, of course I was crushed. Any Thunder fan to lose Ibaka just seems like devastating. It's such a... one of the few guys who was there since, like, when the team first really got exciting and good and had that, you know, their championship or almost championship run. And, you know, now it's, you know, between Durant and Westbrook and Collison, like, that's it. So it's sad to see that, but, you know, I listened to your guys' podcast that you just, put out this morning just to try to get your input on it. And I mean, you're right. Like, there's a little bit of a decline in Serge. I think he was much more focused on wanting to become a shooter. I think that was important to him. And he kind of gave up on his defensive role that made him kind of who people thought of him as. So I guess it certainly was time. And the Thunder has always needed that two guard. That's just the thing that everyone's been crying about since James Harden. And I hate to keep saying that name because whatever, that's the past. You know, I think James Harden leaving was probably one of the better things to happen to the Thunder, but they've yet to have that, you know, that two guard. So I guess all in all, like, Adams and Kanter are so great in what they bring to the team. It's like, I guess there doesn't need to be three guys to do that anymore.
Yeah, and one guy that not a lot of people are talking about, a lot of people are mentioning Oladipo, but Sabonis, like this, he's a legit big. He can pass. He can shoot it a little bit. I think that he's going to be a huge part of the rotation. I've talked to somebody who scouted him significantly over this past year, and their expectation for him is that he'll be in the rotation this year, which was shocking to me and kind of exciting.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, I have to think that, you know, Presti and Donovan know what they're doing. I mean, it's the only, granted, they didn't go all the way. It's the only team this year, I guess, obviously, besides the Cavs, who really made Golden State sweat. So I just have to think that they've got a plan and they're smart and they know what they're doing. They just got to freaking get Kevin Durant to come back.
What are your feelings right now on the on Durant's free agency? Are you nervous or are you confident? Where are you at?
I think about it so much. I have to like tell myself, you're not on the team. You don't know them. It doesn't matter. But like, we'll just be driving in the car and I'll look over to my wife and just out of nowhere, I'll be like, it'll all be okay if Durant signs. And she's like, you're thinking about it right now? I was like, of course I'm thinking about it right now. I think about it all the time. He's my favorite player ever. I mean, as a kid, I loved Penny and Shaq. That was like my duo as a kid. I'm like a 90s basketball player. I loved the two of them together. And I thought there would never be anything I'd be more excited about than when Penny and Shaq had their moment. But I was like, nah, the Russ and Kevin, that's my new duo. I feel so much more attached to the two of them. And I'll be devastated if Westbrook leaves too. I want the two of them to play together in Thunder jerseys as long as possible. Like that's just what we all want.
Yeah, we have a lot more in common than I thought we did, because Shaq was the player that I followed growing up.
Yeah, cool, man. How old are you?
I just turned 30.
Okay, so I'm 35, so I got a little bit on you, but yeah, I mean, Shaq was the man.
That was cool. The moment that I started loving the NBA, when I saw Shaq dunking a basketball and just killing guys. I was like, who is that?
Ripped the backboard, you know, ripped the whole backboard down. It's just insane. I have like a little Shaq Christmas ornament, like dunking on it. And every Christmas I put it up and I try to explain to my kids. And they're like, is that Kevin Durant? I'm like, no, this, you know, because that's all they know is they're young. I'm like, no, this is Shaq. And they're like, they don't know who it is. But yeah, man, but yes, as much as I love Shaq and that was such a cool time, I just, man, I want Durant to stay so bad.
I think he will. I mean, that's kind of the first like inclination you got after the trade last night is, what does this mean for Durant? I had a friend call me like immediately, like he wanted to get an immediate reaction from the trade. And he was like, dude, I don't know if Durant's staying now, like this trade, like, would they make this trade if Durant was leaving? Yeah, I think they would. But like the more like I sit on it, the more I'm like, I think that the Thunder got better, with this trade. I just think that, adding another wing was just really needed, especially when you have Adams who can defend and switch on screens, and he just makes less mistakes than other guys. I think they got better, and adding wing depth is huge as long as they can keep Waiters. I think that having that wing depth is just huge when you're playing the Warriors.
And you don't think that there's any chance that this is replacing Waiters? That they're going to clear up money by getting rid of Waiters and letting Oladipo be there. I guess then you don't have a bench guy, right?
Yeah, I think
that's about.
And it's really hard to project, but I don't think that their stance on Waiters has changed. I think that basically they want to re-sign him if it's a reasonable deal. If he like goes and he gets like a $18 million per offer sheet somewhere, I think they're going to say goodbye. But if they can get him for, you know, $10 to $12 million a year, I think they would gladly keep him, because then you just have one more wing that can play against the Warriors. And, you know,
clearly he's so much happier on the Thunder than where he used to be. So you would think, you know, he's willing to take what it can to stay there.
Hopefully he'll take a discount, because you can just imagine a lineup of Westbrook, Oladipo, Waiters, Robertson, and Durant. Right?
Yeah, man, and if Robertson can just keep – if he can get his shots up, not that his shooting was great in the finals, I mean, or in the whole playoffs, and he really stepped it up. But if he can take that and go up, adding his defense and his offense, if he could step him up, man, he would be such more of a threat than he already is.
Yeah, and I guess that even in that lineup, he would be the center on offense. So you could have him just as like a rim runner.
Crazy,
Yeah. I mean, how do you, I just don't know how you stop that lineup. And at least like figuratively, like you, or just theoretically, you'd think that they could play defense.
That's the other reason you have to think that Kevin Durant wants to stay. And everyone keeps saying it. Who else can do, like, he can't go to Golden State. That's like the enemy right now. Like, if he went to Golden State, everyone would just, it's like a stake in the heart. You know what I mean? That's the last place he can go.
Exactly. It's, and it, like, what kind of PR hit would that be, like, for him?
I mean, for, like, if LeBron didn't get enough crap for going to Miami, like, Durant to the Warriors would be even worse. And there's not room for him on the Warriors. There isn't, you know? It's way too many cooks in the kitchen. And he has to feel good about how much everyone's like, oh, it's the Warriors. They're going to come in, they're going to shut it down and move on. And they had them down 3-1. I mean, mm-hmm. I can't even talk about that. It makes me get too upset to think about if they freaking let that go. But, you know, he has to realize that they did something really special. I think it came out of nowhere. They weren't expecting it to go so well. And I think they have to regroup and be like, wait, we had it the whole time and we didn't know we had it. So let's take what we had, let's make it a little better and go back next year and we will get it, you know, but without Durant, it's not going to be the same thing.
No, not even close. And you have to.
And I love Westbrook. I've always loved Westbrook since day one. When people were giving him crap and hating on Westbrook and saying, you know, he's not the right player, I was like, man, I would take him on my team any day. That whether he's passing or shooting, it doesn't matter. He's just so good.
Yeah, he's just a winner. And I feel like Oladipo is a lot like that. He's got like the same mentality. Like, he's gonna go grab rebounds. He's gonna get in the paint. He's gonna mix it up. He's got kind of the same mentality. They're both not great shooters. I think Oladipo's a little bit better. And he also is in like the 70th percentile and spot up as a spot up shooter. And he shot 60% on open shots last year. Like, I think that he could really thrive in Oklahoma City, and surprise people with his shooting. So it's,
yeah, I saw you put exciting. That stat, like the stats against him and Jimmy Butler, right? Comparing the stats.
Yeah.
Right. And you don't hear people talk about Oladipo like they do about Jimmy Butler, but the stats were so similar. So
that's cool. It surprised me. I went to Basketball Reference because I had been hearing earlier in the day that the Thunder were trying to get Jimmy Butler. And I was like, well, the Thunder aren't going to get Jimmy Butler.
Is Butler not a point guard, or is he a two guard?
He's a two.
Okay.
But I just didn't think there was any way they would get him. And then whenever they got Oladipo, I was like, well, let's just see like how similar these guys are. And I was like, whoa. Like, they're like, they're passing and they're rebounding and their steals. And I didn't even realize, I didn't know this before yesterday, that Oladipo's had better 3-point shooting numbers than Jimmy Butler. That was the most surprising thing to me.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I like to watch Game Time, you know, every morning, just sort of see like the league in general. But I don't know like too much about the players that the Thunder got, so I'm definitely, same thing, trying to cram as much info as I can to learn about these guys. But I mean, stats is one thing. It all depends how they gel with the team. It's a whole nother story. So. Yeah, we'll see.
So what, tell me your general thoughts on the playoff run. Like, how surprised were you that they beat the Spurs? What were your thoughts, even though it may be a little painful to review your thoughts on the Warriors series? Like, what were your overall impressions of the playoff run?
I mean, in all honesty, I always thought that they would beat the Spurs. The Spurs are such a great team, but the Thunder, you know, in all fairness, is younger and quicker and stronger. And I just kept thinking, in a battle of 7 games playing the Thunder over and over again, they will wear the Spurs down and they will win. I never was worried about that. It was really just, can they beat Golden State? And I kept thinking, and if they do beat Golden State, I think they could beat the Cavs. And, mm-hmm. you know, they played so well. So many guys stepped up. Like, Steven Adams went from like that big hairy guy on the Thunder to like a superstar. Everybody knows who Steven Adams is now.
Yep.
And that was just so important. And then guys like Foy, who came on, you know, halfway through and just kind of, I felt like just didn't do anything. It's like, why'd they get Foy? And then he came in and hit some like big threes and jump shots here and there, where just, you know, they put him in for a couple of minutes, and if he was on the floor, he was going to score. And I felt like that was really, really important. And even Singler, you know, everybody gets frustrated about Singler, but man, he had some big shots in the playoffs when he came in. Kind of early, he didn't play so much obviously later in the playoffs, but a couple of those first couple of rounds when he came in towards the end of the season and the beginning of the playoffs, I felt like he took a big step up for me offensively. But in all, I don't know. It's just hard to think that you could go up 3-1. I think it's the pressure. The Thunder has always had that when they're like in the heat of the moment and that clutch pressure moments, sometimes greatness happens and sometimes they just crumble. Like the fourth quarter Thunder curse is frustrating. Mm-hmm. So it's you know, I'm not on the floor. I don't know what it's like to be out there in front of all those people, knowing all those people are watching on TV and there's so much pressure and you have to perform at the top level. It has to be hard. But I've heard, you know, I've heard Kevin Durant say that it's supposed to be fun. Like he's doing his dream job. And when it comes to the fourth quarter, he doesn't worry anymore. He just goes out and he plays. And so what's the worst thing that can happen is you miss, you know, like your life isn't over. Nobody got hurt. Like you missed the shot. That's it. So I know he tries to go out there and just play the game and, you know, it didn't work this time. So I don't know what the answer is. And, you know, Steph Curry is kind of just a freak. Like when he throws the ball, it's probably just going to go in and it's just crazy.
Yeah, and when the more I think about it, the more this trade feels like it was a trade for that, like, game six, the end of game six, where it was basically, you know, 3-on-1 with Durant. Like, everybody, like, he had three defenders, and one of those defenders was Serge Ibaka's defender. And if you have a guy like Oladipo out there, you know, they can't come off of him like that. And Oladipo's a guy that you throw the ball to him. He's not just – he's going to have a lot of options because he can get to the bucket, he can shoot, he can pass, and that's just one more guy that can do those things. And I think that Donovan spoke to this. I was talking to a friend earlier, and he was just like, you know, Donovan just pounded the fact that the offense was stagnant, and that seemed like kind of like a quote-unquote Thunder thing. But Donovan was frustrated that it kept happening.
Sure, I mean, 3-on-1 has to be extremely frustrating, knowing that there's three people out there that are willing to give up, you know, to cover Durant.
Exactly. And, you know, you have Oladipo out there. That's one more guy they just can't do that with because he does have the threat of shooting, passing, or getting to the bucket. So I just think that they did this trade with those moments in mind. Yeah, I think it's exciting. There was a statistical study put out by ESPN today saying that the Thunder came out better than they were last year statistically. So it's
based off of this new trade.
Yes, but yeah, based off of what Oladipo can bring, and then increasing minutes for those other guys. So it's this. I feel like this has been said for like the past like 5 years. Every year, like this could be the best Thunder team ever.
But they really are such a strong team. Like, there's almost no one on the bench who comes out where I'm like, oh crap, this guy's coming in. You know, almost every guy on the team comes out, and I'm thinking, yeah, that guy can score. That guy can play D. So they are a strong team. Just, you know, got to make sure that first piece of the puzzle does not stray too far.
Yeah, it's exciting. So tell me who your favorite Thunder role player is. Not Kevin Durant, not Russell Westbrook, but who is your favorite Thunder role player?
I mean, you mean non-starter?
He could be a starter, but just who's your favorite non-Kevin Durant or Russell Westbrook Thunder player?
I love Steven Adams, man. I think Steven Adams has so much potential. It's just crazy when, you know, and how quick, you know, some of, like, there was a couple times where he was, like, driving to the basket from the foul shooting line, you know, and going in and dunking the ball, or like that behind the back or the no look pass he did to Robertson, you know, and just some of that stuff that he does was just crazy. And I used to say my favorite move for the Thunder would be a Westbrook to Durant alley-oop. I mean, who doesn't love the alley-oop? That's for me like the ultimate move in basketball. When that happens, they don't see it coming. But when Westbrook gives one to Adams now, it's just so much scarier. And like when he catches him for like a oop, I feel like he could pull the backboard down. You know, he dunks it so hard. So yeah, I definitely got a lot of love for Steven Adams, and I think his potential hasn't even come close yet.
Yeah, he's 22. He'll be 23 soon. That's just unimaginable what he's going to be when he's like 25.
There's no bigs like that in the league anymore. Like we were talking in the Shaq era, everybody wanted to have that guy on their team, a big, giant center. And aside from, you know, maybe DeAndre Jordan or Dwight Howard, there hasn't been any dudes in the NBA like that for a long time. So it's cool to think that the Thunder has one, if not, you know, the best one.
Yeah, and he's super skilled too. Like he can definitely get up and throw down dunks. But what kind of differentiates him from those other guys is that he can pass a little bit, and he's got good touch, and he has post moves. Like he's
not clunky. You know, like most of those guys are clunky, and they look like they're going to trip themselves or fall over. And he moves quick, and it's crazy.
Yeah, and his free throws in the playoffs, like I was nervous about him going into the playoffs because he was suffering at the line, but he stepped up.
Yeah. And not to say, you know, like I feel the same way about Kanter. As soon as they got Kanter, and I was thinking, who is this guy? Like, really? And within two or three games of him being on the Thunder, I was like, never mind, this guy is perfect. No, he comes in, and I just wish he played a little more aggressive. Sometimes when he's under the hoop and, you know, and it's a key moment in the game and he does like a soft little like layup, I'm like, dunk it, you know, like just you have to make it. You can't chance him not going in. So that's just the difference between those two is Steven Adams plays with fire and I think Kanter plays with precision. But, you know, what's the point of having two of the same guy on your team? You know?
Yeah, I thought the same thing about Kanter. I felt like he was a little timid against the Warriors, yes. Especially in game six. There were probably like four or five bunnies that he just missed, like just point blank missed. And it was my wife and I were at that game, and it was an incredibly frustrating game to watch him miss so many shots. And then obviously the meltdown in the fourth quarter. And then the very worst part about it all for me was there were four Warriors fans right behind me. Four of the loudest, most obnoxious Warriors fans just rubbing it in my face. It was the worst.
It's the worst. I mean, I see every time the Thunder has played the Wizards, probably in the last 6 or 7 years, probably my wife and I, we get tickets to go every time. And we've also like come to Oklahoma to see the Thunder play in Oklahoma. And man, it's such a crazy vibe inside the Chesapeake Bay there. They go crazy.
It's super fun. And I think that this next team is going to be really exciting because you're going to basically surround – if they basically just plug in Oladipo for Ibaka, they're going to have Westbrook surrounded by four lob catchers, like elite lob-catching guys. So it should be really fun.
I hope so.
Billy, tell us – we're going to stray away from basketball a little bit. Tell us – you're not only an artist with your music, but you're also, I guess, a cartoonist. Is that – would that be the right phrasing?
Yeah, that's fine, yeah. Cartoonist, illustrator, whatever. I guess it depends what I'm drawing at the moment. So,
illustrator. Yeah. So tell us a little bit about your work and who you've been drawing for and what kind of art you do.
So when I'm not watching basketball or playing in Good Charlotte, I like to draw. So I've always kind of been into comics and animation. And when Good Charlotte took a hiatus about 4 years ago, that was really my opportunity to give it sort of my full-time job and just started reaching out to a lot of companies and showing them my resume. And I ended up getting to do some work for Nickelodeon's Ninja Turtles comic book, who they published through IDW. And that was really cool. I've got two sons and Ninja Turtles is big in our house. So getting to work on the book that was based off the cartoon show was super cool. I had to do a bunch of sample pieces for Nickelodeon and have them, you know, yay or nay, whether I like nailed the look or not. So luckily they liked it and I got to work on that a bunch. So that was really cool. I got to do some cool sort of design merchandise-y kind of stuff for Disney World. I'm a big Disney fan, so that was fun. And a couple of my own projects, I put a children's book out last July. It's called Demius McDreary, A Boy and His Bat, sort of in the vein of Tim Burton or Dr. Seuss, sort of like a spooky, charming little children's book. So I wrote that and illustrated it, and that was fun because, like I said, I have young kids, and getting to do a project that I could share with them and sort of get their input on was really fun.
That's awesome. I think that you have some of the coolest jobs. I play the guitar too. I play the guitar since I was 11.
Nice.
And being able to play in a band where you actually get to go on tour and make money, and then you get to draw Ninja Turtles for Nickelodeon. I can't imagine two cooler jobs than that.
You know, I think about it all the time, and that I feel lucky, but I also know it takes a lot of work, but I'm willing to do whatever it takes to make sure I only do the jobs that I like for the rest of my life, because, you know, that's the whole goal, right?
Yeah, that's incredible. That's why we're doing this podcast and why we love basketball and stuff like that. So that's just really cool. So Good Charlotte is not disbanded anymore. You guys have come back and recorded a new album. Yes. Tell us about the album, the release date, and your new single.
Yeah, the new album is called Youth Authority, and it's going to be out on July 15th. It was a great experience working on the record, especially taking a couple of years off. I kind of think it was the best thing we could have done. Everybody has kids and kind of needed to just like go have a family and try to live the quote unquote normal life for a little bit. And then we got back to Good Charlotte, and everybody was just refreshed and inspired to make music again. And the record came together really quickly, and everybody was really happy with it. So our current single right now is called 40 Ounce Dream, sort of just a sarcastic look at just pop music in general. And I mean, when we were kids, MTV was where you got your music videos from, and you would wait up, you know, all night to see if they played your favorite video, or you know going to record stores and shopping for albums based off of, you just saw an album cover looked cool, so that's the one you bought, you know. And nowadays, you know, it's just different, and that makes us sound old and grumpy, but you got to think about what's true, you know. To us, that's what it's like. You turn on the radio now and you think, man, there's so few music with guitars in it. Like, yeah. When I turned on the radio, you know, in the 80s or the 90s, you had Guns N' Roses and Metallica having like the biggest songs of the year, and you know, then going into the grunge era, alternative era, and all that stuff like ruled the radio, and it was just a bunch of loud guitar bands, and now guitars are kind of just gone. So, you know, that's just our take. And we're actually releasing a new single this week. It's called Life Can't Get Much Better, and that's a little more of a ballad song, a little sort of just what we were talking about, how lucky I guess we are, and that we get to do the job that we love, and we have healthy families who get to experience and enjoy this job with us. And you look back at it in our 30s, I mean, in our 20s, it was a lot of complaining. And now in our 30s, it's kind of just like, man, things are pretty good, but you know, there's not much to complain about.
That's awesome. And how would you characterize like the style of this album? Is it a punk record, or like, how would you characterize it?
There's definitely a lot of sort of throwback vibes to our earlier stuff on this. I think the last couple of records was a lot of experimenting and trying different styles, and really trying to just find our place in the world of music that was always changing. And I think sometimes when a band is lost and you're trying to find your place, you don't do your best work. And I think you sit back and we have to think, it doesn't matter if it gets played on the radio. It doesn't matter what everyone else is doing in music. It matters that we like the record and that our fans like the record. So going into a different headspace with this record, I think there's a lot of more up-tempo, faster kind of rock songs that would have maybe fit into some of our older records. I mean, there's a couple ballads on it. We've always had that, a lot of variety on the records, but definitely, like you said, fans who liked Good Charlotte back in 2000, 2002, like that kind of early stuff, they're going to be really stoked on this record.
That's awesome. I'll definitely pick it up. One last question. I saw some promos for the new album, and I saw Benji and Joel, and I just wonder if they're big Clay Thompson fans, because they seem to be emulating Clay Thompson's beard, goatee. Right?
No, I don't think so. Funnily, our bass player lives in Oakland, so
oh, really?
We definitely had quite the rivalry going on throughout the playoffs, and sucks that he won. But then in the end, I was just like, sweet revenge. Thank you, LeBron. Yep. I really needed that revenge, you know. But no, I don't think they don't follow Clay Thompson. That's funny, though.
Well, Billy, thanks for coming on the podcast today.
One last thing I forgot to say, July 31st, we're playing in Oklahoma City. We're doing something at the zoo. It's like the amphitheater that's at the Oklahoma City Zoo. So we'll be there on July 31st. And if you want, you should come out to the show and come check it out.
Yes, I think I will be there. That's amazing. I didn't know you guys were playing. Yes. Yeah. Well, tell us where we can follow you on Twitter and follow your art, and where we can get the album, and tell us the album date again.
Sure. Yeah. The album date is July 15th. iTunes is probably the best way to go. Apple is really backing this album really hard for us, which is awesome. So there'll be lots of cool special content on Apple Music and iTunes, but it'll be available everywhere, July 15th. And then for my website, my Facebook, my Twitter, all that stuff, it's The Billy Martin. I have a very common name, so Billy Martin was taken everywhere. So I just added the in front of everything. But you can, that's my website and all my social medias.
Awesome. Well, thanks, Billy, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks, Andrew. I appreciate it. It was fun.
Thanks for listening to the Down to Dunk podcast. You can find us at dailythunder.com and downtodunk.com. Follow us on Twitter at DTD Podcast and ask us Twitter questions every Wednesday. Subscribe to us on iTunes. Give us a 5-star iTunes review and your review will be read on the next podcast. Thanks for listening.